Good afternoon and welcome to From Where We Are, stories of news and culture through the lens of USC, Southern California, and beyond. From sunny Los Angeles, I'm Julia Mervis. For today's show, Trojans push for an extension on pass or no pass, the dismissal of an LA County sheriff, and how one jolly tune warmed the heart of a Trojan during these trying times. All that and more for From Where We Are. But first, these news headlines.
The Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is back before the U.S. Supreme Court today. Opponents argue that the elimination of the insurance mandate means the entire healthcare law should be invalid. Trump administration officials tried to make that case today. The justices seemed skeptical. Chief Justice John Roberts said, even though the insurance requirement is gone, quote, Congress left the rest of the law intact. And he said, quote, that seems to be compelling evidence that the law should stand. This is the third time the U.S. Supreme Court has heard a challenge to the healthcare law. LA public health officials say these next 2 weeks are critical. They are warning of a surge in coronavirus cases, and they are concerned people are growing weary of restrictions at the same time we are having a spike in cases. They urge people to not let down their guard. With the holidays coming, public health officials are worried about increases in transmission, hospitalization, and deaths. Last week, LA County reported 13,000 cases. That is the highest number in the last couple of months. Public health officials say the basic health safety rules are still key, like washing your hands frequently, avoiding crowds, social distancing, and wearing masks. A new Vatican report finds former popes John Paul II and Benedict XVI knew a cardinal was accused of sexually assaulting boys and promoted him anyway. The internal report says the popes played down or dismissed allegations of sexual misconduct against the former Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Theodore McCarrick. Pope Francis defrocked McCarrick last year, but Pope John Paul II appointed McCarrick to Archbishop even after getting detailed allegations against him. And these are all the headlines for today, November 10, 2020. For Annenberg Media, I'm Celine Mangiola.
USC is in the final week of classes, and students are waiting to see if the university will extend the pass-no-pass deadline to beyond this Friday, to after finals. Catherine Landis spoke with some students about the issue.
USC students are circulating another petition asking the university to again move the pass-no-pass deadline, this time to after final grades are calculated. More than 4,000 students have signed on. The goal is 5,000 signatures. The current deadline to opt for pass-no-pass is this Friday. It was set 2 weeks ago when USC President Carol Folt responded to an earlier student petition and announced November 13th will be the deadline to select pass-no-pass. Students wanting to move the option to after final exams say they want a clearer picture of what their letter grade would be before deciding whether to take the class pass, no pass.
I think it just makes sense.
Karina Williamson is a sophomore double majoring in cinema and media studies in East Asian languages and cultures.
To have a pass, no pass deadline after grades are released, because, I mean, even if you're in a class where you have a pretty clear idea of how assignments are being graded, so much of your grade is dependent on the final, which obviously won't, for most people, won't be graded until after the pass-no-pass deadline. It just makes more sense to give people a clearer idea of what their grade is before having to make that decision.
Xenia Meherli, a communications major, says she is feeling the stress of online learning and signed the petition.
The policy change that they did for the semester, I can see where they might have had good intentions, but their execution didn't follow through with that because it's just adding more stress. Teachers are not able to get the grades in time for us to even get an idea before finals start.
Last night, the university's Student Government Senate called on the provost and president to extend the pass-no-pass deadline until after final grades are received. They posted a message of support for the petition to their Instagram account, stating that the university's prior concessions are not satisfactory to preserve the emotional and mental wellness of students at this time. The administration has not given a clear response on whether the petition will be considered. Although many students want the deadline to be extended, some are less hopeful that the university will change its mind so close to the deadline. Karina Williamson explains how she would feel if the deadline is not extended.
I'm a little bit disappointed, but not entirely, like, I'm not surprised. I think that because USC has already changed their mind once, they're usually pretty set on sticking with that decision. And I do think that to change that decision a couple days before they have the deadline would affect some people, but not very many.
Xenia Meharli says online learning is not the same as in-person classes, and that has made things tough.
You know, this is a drag. This is a burden for me right now. It's not the environment that you're supposed to be learning in, you know, there's distractions left and right. And granted, at school, that's not to say there weren't distractions, but the environment, right? It's an environment of education, it's an environment to learn and study and excel. It's not the same thing.
For the time being, the deadline still holds that Friday, November 13th is the last day for students to change letter grades to the pass, no pass option. For Annenberg Media, I'm Catherine Landis.
Catherine Orihuela and Victoria Westover also reported on the story. Welcome back, Trojans. Thank you for listening to From Where We Are. I'm Julia Mervis. LA County supervisors took steps today towards firing or impeaching Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Ike Allen has the story.
The supervisors this afternoon passed the motion to look at options for removing LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Supervisor Sheila Kuhl explains.
So this simply says, what are our options, if any, for removing or impeaching a sheriff? And we are not the first county to ask this question.
The sheriff and the supervisors have clashed from the first days after he was elected 2 years ago. The supervisors objected to him rehiring deputies who had been fired after disciplinary actions. They raised concerns that he was rolling back overdue reforms. Groups like the ACLU, Black Lives Matter LA, and the LA Hotel Workers Union want Villanueva to resign. They say he's covered up abuses in the department and abandoned reforms for accountability. Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas stresses the need for transparency in the office.
May I assert that accountability matters. Its absence contributes to violations of constitutional and human rights. It inhibits the department's efforts to make public safety real and or believable, and too often it undermines the rule of law.
The supervisors will also consider appointing, rather than electing, the next sheriff. Supervisor Janice Hahn voted against the motion, saying it should be up to the public to vote Villanueva out at the end of his term.
With all due respect to my colleagues, I don't think it's our job to remove an elected official. If the voters want to do that, it's totally within their right.
With the motion passing, Villanueva could face removal before his term is over in 2022. For Annenberg Media, I'm Mike Allen.
Election Day was exactly 1 week ago, and between then and now, the nation has been wrapped in election news. On Saturday morning, Joe Biden was projected as the winner of the presidential election, while a runoff election in Georgia will determine the fate of the Senate in January. Mimi Geller gives us an update on what has been happening ever since the ballots were casted last week.
The Associated Press and other media organizations have projected victory for Joe Biden in the presidential election, as 99% of votes have been counted in the swing states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona, all of where Biden is still holding a narrow lead. Other than Georgia, the Associated Press has called all of these states for Biden. Today, Biden called Trump's refusal to concede an embarrassment while he was speaking to reporters in Wilmington, Delaware. Biden also stated that Trump's current attitude won't help him in the long run.
I just think it's an embarrassment, quite frankly. The only thing that, how can I say this? Tactfully, I think it will not help the president's legacy.
Now, from the White House to the Capitol, North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis has been reelected to a second term in the Senate, defeating Democrat challenger Cal Cunningham. Tillis's win means Republicans now take the lead in the battle to claim a majority in the Senate with 51 seats, with the GOP holding 49 seats and Democrats holding 48. These are the latest election updates. For Annenberg Media, I'm Mimi Geller.
The holidays are going to be different this year. A lot of us won't be able to gather the way we might like to because of the pandemic. Frank Rojas has more on this reflection.
It's the week before finals. Most of us have been Zoomed out after 12 weeks of online classes, especially me. This semester, I took 7 classes while also being an editor for 2 news desks with USC Annenberg Media, on top of living through the pandemic and this crazy election year. It's been a lot. But as I stay up late working on assignments and scrolling through my student email inbox, there is one thing that helps me push through.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
I have been listening to Christmas music heavily these past few days, and while the holidays may look a little different this year, the loving and nostalgic memories this music brings remain constant. I spoke to my mom, who had this to say about the holiday music.
Yes, I usually start early because it really kind of get into the Christmas spirit, and I'm beginning to see the Hallmark Channel. It's about Christmas movies. It really gets my spirits high, especially right now with the pandemic going on. You know, you always tell the negativity, but seeing those movies helps me just think positive and be cheerful, and also hearing the music.
My cousin Lauren shares her sentiment about the genre and its meaning.
Honestly, it brings the family together, even though throughout the year you are apart and you're living your own lives. But that one day, or that, you know, 2 days you have, it really makes a difference. But the Christmas music is honestly, at the dinner table, it is blasting loud all the time, and it's the best. I love Christmas music.
The music has even reached family members who don't typically care too much about the genre. My brother-in-law, Samuel, is one of them.
I started listening to Christmas music on November 5th or 6th, the day that Coast, transition over to Christmas music. Believe it or not, it's the first time I catch it. They did the transition like at 8 a.m. and I still happen to be driving, and I even stayed on the car, on my truck. When I got at work, I had to wait like at least 7 minutes for it to 8 o'clock. I was excited.
My favorite Christmas song has always been Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono with a chorus of children. So much of that song embodies what I feel some of us have been feeling this year, with the loss of loved ones and work because of the pandemic, as well as the social injustices we've been witnessing, especially over the summer. It's about togetherness in the face of adversity, which is what I think Christmas music and the holidays are all about.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas.
I'm Frank Rojas with Annenberg Radio News.
That's all for the last Tuesday show of From Where We Are. I'm Julia Mervis. Today's show was produced by Celine Mangiola. Jeha Joshua Chang is the executive producer. And of course, a shout out to producer Johnny Dorsell. A huge thanks to our mentors, Shirley Jihad, Tina Rubio, and the groovy Sebastian Gruba. We'll see, or rather hear from you in 2021. Meanwhile, from all of us at Annenberg Radio News, Have a good holiday. Stay safe and fight on.